I've heard those songs. I want to say this first and foremost. I've heard those songs before in big churches and small, medium, it doesn't matter, all sizes. But they were anointed. Amen. Now, and I learned this from Brother Copeland. He said, when you pray, now here's the power of praise. I woke up this morning. Remember, I was talking, the Lord told me last night in my sleep, He was just talking to me about virtue and praise and the power in it. And He said, when you pray, you enter into His presence. But when you praise, He enters into your presence. I should drop a mic right here and walk out. Chew on that a little bit. Do you not need Him in your presence? So what are you going through and what are you saying and what are you doing? You should be praising your way through. Amen. Not complaining. Not murmuring. Not focusing on the name. Praising. I need Him here. And that's based off of the scripture. He inhabits the praises of His people. He inhabits it. So He comes in. I need Him. Praise God. Thank you. I want to tell you that I love your pastors. And even though he has more common likes with my brother, like cars and Mopar, whatever that means. Have you ever heard him say Mopar? I still don't know what that means. So, he keeps saying it. That's Mopar. What is Mopar? And, he's still, you know, he's a brother to me, and I'm so thankful for him. He said connections. I've heard this before, God dots. I believe there's all these little God dots, right? And then after you connect the dots, there's this beautiful, wonderful picture of what God had planned. Amen.
Right.
Praise God. Well, the men, we had a wonderful, wonderful... Wasn't that good? Anybody covenant-minded? Man, and those songs, covenant-minded. I mean, those songs are covenant. You'll see the difference in the word when you read it and everything else. And just to give you I can't... There's no way I can quickly go over that message. It wasn't taped, was it? Clemma, where'd he go? Okay, do we have any more of those? No. How can we get more covenant-minded? They need that series, covenant-minded. I preached it on BVOV, Brother Copeland. I get this text. Now, that's one thing to know him, and I've known him all my life, but it's a whole nother ballpark when you got his phone number. That's a really small group. Really small group. And I get this text, and it says, from an unknown number, this is Kenneth Copeland, can I call you? And so I have all these guys take selfies with it with me. I didn't tell him that part. And then I called, yes, sir. And he said, I just ordered 6 series of those. He says, that's life-changing. It's changing my life. And I'm like, how can you be saying this? How can you be telling me this? You've changed my life. I've gotten everything from you. And he said, well, I'm just telling you, this is a message for today, and the church needs this now, and blah, blah, blah. So get that covenant, because that's the start of it. You got to become covenant-minded. And how it all, how the Lord showed me, to see if I can wrap this all up, he wants us to dial in, to focus in on something. We're kind of here and here and here and here and here. But if we dial into something, we'll get all of this more clearer and we'll go higher faster. How many like speedily better than later? How many like sooner better than later? Well, because of time, God doesn't go by time. He's eternal, but he cut a slice of time out, and he cut a slice of eternity out and called it time for man's sake, and he's out of that. That's out, and Satan knows his time is up and short, and so things are going to happen at a more rapid pace. And he wants us to focus in on something. And so I was getting ready for an authority conference with Mom. Mom has been told by the Lord that we're to do authority conferences. We started in Oklahoma City. Our next one is in Washington, D.C. And then we are going to Houston. And so far, that's what the Lord has told her to do, and that's what we're doing. Great meetings. Oh, my goodness. We're just wonderful, powerful meetings. And, of course, they're assigned by God. So I was getting ready for that, and I saw this case study that was done, and it was over four wars in our country. Now, the men have already heard this, and I'm going to quickly get this so we can go on. The four wars were World War I, World War II, the Korean War, and Vietnam. Of those four wars, this case study, which you can Google it, it's a fact, the stats and the case study of this was of how many shots were fired in these four wars compared to how many killed. And the ratio was 40,000 shots fired to one kill. Now, what is God trying to show me? You'll see it here in a second. So 40,000 shots fired to one kill in these wars with these armies. Are we in an army of the Lord? Yes. Is it war? Absolutely, it's war. I mean, Jesus will be on a white horse with fire in his eyes and a sword coming from his mouth and his robe dipped in blood. I mean, he's not going to be on some little old mule with his head down and bless you and all that. No, he's coming back for vengeance. I mean, he's coming back. And he's coming back with an army behind him as well. So what's happening in the army now? What's happening in the army now? 40,000 shots and maybe one hit? Are y'all getting this or not? I mean, what's happening now? So the ratio was 40,000 to 1, and they even used the term, when they taught this back then, spray and pray. Spray and pray, and it wasn't a religious term. They said just spray your bullets and pray that one hits. That was the teaching. Don't worry about the effort. Don't worry about that you might get killed. Don't worry about the cost. Just spray and pray. And then, well, our military and our government said we got to do something about that, so they put all of the effort into the target, and they dialed it into the target. And so they got better night vision goggles, and they got better scopes, and they got better, you know, everything was about focus and dialing it in. And now the ratio is 1.5 to 1. Isn't that something? 40,000 to 1 to 1.5 to 1. And now, the term that they use when they teach it now, it's one shot, one kill. That's what they teach them. They don't teach them spray and pray anymore. It's one shot, one kill. I mean, you need to be focused in on that to where you're not just looking at that target. You've got the button on the target. Right? You're focused and dialed in. Everybody say dialed in. Dialed in. So God wanted me to dial it in. And then when I heard this case study, I heard inside of me, which one are you? Personally, me. I heard God asking me that. Which one are you? Are you a spray and prayer? You got all these verses? You've got all these confessions? And you're just hoping one hits? Oh, it's getting real in here, isn't it? Come on, I mean, y'all look pretty holy right now, but... come on now. I mean, I've lived that way. I have lived that way. And hoping nothing bad happens and hoping good things happen and hoping that, you know, this hits and this works and hoping that works and, you know, that covers my kids or whatever I'm hoping. And then he says, are you one shot, one kill? And I really didn't even know what he meant by that. And what he's talking about is, are you that dialed in? And what do I need to be dialed into? So, okay, God, what do you want me to dial into? So I was focusing on, at that time, authority. So let's just say authority is this right here. And I'm back here, and I'm focusing on authority because we're getting ready to do authority conferences. And but God had something yet further down that I wasn't seeing. I needed to dial in with my, you know what I'm talking about, dialing in with your scope. Thank you. And so he wanted me to see something that wasn't so... And what he's talking about is if I do dial in here, it will really, really clear this up and help me understand it more, okay? So I didn't know what it was, and I begin to say, well, I'm dialed in, glory to God, and that's what you do. You speak it. And I received it and prayed in the Spirit, and then I saw it. It was the blood. Everybody say the blood. Without the blood of Jesus, we would have no authority. Amen? So how can we teach authority without the blood?
Right.
It's impossible. Thank you. I mean, I just read the other day, I was preaching on honor, and I had all these books from these great, great men of God who were selling these bestsellers on honor. And then God says, well, look at this verse. You can't have honor. There's two verses in the Bible that says, before honor comes humility. Don't even think about honor without humility.
Right.
Don't even write a chapter of a book without humility. Honor can't come without it. So there's ways of God. So anyway, so that blood was shed for us so that we could have authority. Okay? Found out later in the covenant that's what it meant, authority. So I'm focusing in on the blood and getting excited, and the Lord says, dial it in. And so he wanted me to go further. Right? So there's something further down here. So I don't want to be a spray and prayer. Hope one hits. God, what do you want me to dial in on? And then I saw it was the covenant. Because there can't be blood without, I mean, there has to, for with every covenant, the Jews say two things have to happen. Words have to be shed, and blood has to be spilled, right? Amen. So the covenant. So I started focusing on the covenant, and the Lord showed me, and you got to get that. I just can't go that way right now. I got to go another way. I really want to go that way right now. And you men know what I'm talking about. I really want to go that way. And see, they're smiling and laughing. And they may even have told you, oh, man, you missed it, or whatever. You got to get that. It's that. The reason why David was David and the reason why Abraham was Abraham. And he said, Chip, which one would you draft if you had a draft right now? And, you know, like a hockey draft or a baseball draft or something. And I said, well, Abraham and David. He goes, you want to know why you chose those two? You didn't say Moses. And you didn't say Joshua, and you didn't say, and all these would have been good people to have on your team, but you picked those two. He said, you want to know why you picked those two? And even of those two, I didn't pick Abram, I picked Abraham.
Right.
Abram would question how old he was and what's going on, and God, can I do this? Not Abraham. Abraham, take my son up there. Let's go. That's the guy I want to coach, and that's the guy I want on my team. He's coachable. He's fully convinced and totally persuaded. Right? The Bible says that. That's the ones you want on your team. What kind of Christians are we? Why are we not fully convinced? If we're fully convinced and totally persuaded, we have a different walk and talk. We have a different sound. We have a different confidence. You understand what I'm talking about? It's a champion confidence. Cast not away your confidence. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Amen. That's champion. Where's our church? What's happening? Are we spraying and praying? And he wants us to focus in on the covenant. He said, Chip, David was covenant-minded. He was the only one in all of Israel who was covenant-minded. Did Israel know their covenant? Yeah. They were hiding behind tents and bushes, right? And here comes David serving bread and cheese. And he says, what's going on? Oh, we got this big Philistine. Oh, okay. Well, what's going on? Well, he's putting down the armies of God and defying them. Everybody's scared and don't want to fight him. And David says this, but he's uncircumcised. Come on. But he's uncircumcised. It doesn't matter how big he is. It doesn't matter what they call it. It doesn't matter what the percentages are of winning and losing. They could have told him, your percentages of winning, David, are 0.00001%. Doesn't matter. He doesn't have a covenant with God. Now, did all of Israel who were hiding know of covenant? Yes. You know what I call them? The church. And I was a part of it. Who a church who hasn't focused in and dialed in and has got a mentality covenant-minded.
Right, right.
You know what that is? Humility.
Yeah.
You know what comes after that? Honor. True humility is submitting your will to God and His Word no matter what. Come on. Oh, my God. You're getting some stuff that'll take you over and higher and through and blast and quick and fast and let's go! Anyway. Woo! I'm just going to bask in this anointing a little bit right now. It's a very, comes every once in a while, and it's a very military type, I don't know what to call it, but I sense it. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Are y'all okay? There's no crying. Now, there's times for tears. There's times for crying. There is. But not in baseball. Anyway, all right. Praise God. All right, here we go. So God even said, now look, you didn't choose Moses, and that would have been a good one. Look at all the supernatural things he did. But yet, many times, I had to go down to Moses and say, watch this. Fear not, Moses. Now watch this. For I am the Lord of your father Abraham. What was he talking about? Covenant. You have forgotten your covenant. You want to know a characteristic of someone who knows their covenant? They're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. Say, I'm not alone. Man, some of you need to say that all the time. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Yeah, but I'm not alone. And I'm in covenant with God, and everything He has is mine. I'm very wealthy because my daddy is wealthy. Everything he has is mine, and mine is his. David said that. Saul goes, you're an adolescent. You can't do this. He's trying to tell a covenant-minded person he can't do something. You know what he tells him? He says, God help me. He delivered me from the paw, the bear, and the lion. And he will deliver me from this Philistine. So what did he just say? I'm not alone. Yeah. Only covenant-minded people think that way. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So God wants us to dial in. And then he says, Saul goes, go, for your Lord is with you. What did he say? You're not alone. Yeah. You're the only one of all of Israel who's not alone. For some odd reason, we know about the covenant, but we're alone. Come on now. How would you like to live that life? So God, and I preach this covenant, right? And God says, dial it in again. I'm like, what? How can you go further than that? He said, the reason why you can go further than that is because you can preach covenant and all of the promises, because the Bible, the New Testament says, we are Abraham's seed, if you be Christ, right? And you learn that. Those are all for you. But there's going to be people who sit there and they hear this and go, well, if I'm in covenant with God, then how come He's not backing His covenant for me? How come I'm going through this mess? I'm not seeing Him doing anything in this area. If He's that covenant and everything's mine's His, my enemies are His enemies, His weapons, my weapons, blah, blah, blah. How come I'm not seeing more results if covenant is that important and it's that real? Are y'all with me or not? And he said, then you need to dial it in. Okay. So Mom and I take this trip to North Carolina. We're getting ready to do some TV for Sid Roth. You ever heard of Sid Roth? Goes to 7.2 million people. Sid Roth wants us to do some teaching on authority. And while we were there, a man came there to give his testimony that just shocked us all. And it was, he had had a visitation and God took him from his body and showed him something. And if you get online, you can see his testimony. I highly encourage you to do it. His name is, if you go to Sid Roth, what is it called? It's Supernatural or something like that? Go to that and then find Robert Henderson's testimony. Okay, some of you already heard it. So I'm going to briefly talk about Robert Henderson's experience, and then I'm going to show you how what the Lord told me about it, and then tell you how I experienced it. But he said, now that right there, that little dot right there, that's the reason why I had you come across this. He says, now that you're covenant-minded, because covenant is legal. And so the legal part of the covenant, and God is legal. How many know God is a legal God? How many know he's a just God? And he's judge. Now, a lot of people don't want to know him as judge. They just want to know him as Father and Lord. But he wants you to know him as judge. Not condemning judge. Come on now, we got to brainwash this or get it out. But as justifying judge. Not as, I never want to see you in my courtroom again, type like down here judge. As, come to the courtroom all the time. Let me justify you. Let me back my covenant. We got some great things to do. Instead of, oh God, oh judge. Your emotions have nothing to do with it. Do you realize your emotions are just a waste of time? No. I want you to look it up in the Greek. The word repent has no emotional tie to it. Any emotions to it is your choice. Now, that doesn't mean it's just your choice. It is a very legal word. Think of how this is going to work in today's court down here. Your Honor, I'm a lawyer. May I approach the bench? You may. And so I go up to the bench. Your Honor, oh God, Your Honor, I haven't won a case, and my kids are in school, and my dog is sick. Do you think that's going to have any bearing? Not in court. Not in court. God said, I am legal. And I am just. And I will justify, but legally. There is an adversary and there is an accuser who comes daily to the judge after you to steal, kill, and destroy. And there's legal rights that we've been giving him. But my people perish for a lack of knowledge. But if they understand and dial in and know their covenant rights and the legalities of it, there's nothing we can't do together legally. Amen? So everything's legal. As a matter of fact, when Jesus died on the cross, it was the greatest legal transaction in the history of the world. When Jesus said, it is finished, every legal mandate had been met. So I come across his testimony. He was a pastor. I can't remember what state it was, Kentucky, something like that, in South, whatever. They interviewed people in his church, and they said, great pastor. You can't get a better pastor. Mr. Walk in Love. Mr. Knows the Word. We've been here for years. He had a family who was involved in the church. And all of a sudden an attack came. Well, many attacks have came his way, but he knew what to do. And so this attack was on his son. Okay? And his son was involved and married and involved in the ministry and also a pastor. And so they did what they knew to do. Okay? And it didn't get better, it got worse. So it went a year, now it's past a year, now it's 2 years, now it's past 2 years. Now time out, and please don't take this like I'm saying this the wrong way, because God knows what I mean. But if that's the kind of God we're serving, who wants to do that? What kind of God is that? that a man who serves his life and knows what to do and is doing everything right that he knows of. And God's just sitting there waiting. Not me. Cricket, cricket. I'm just telling you. There better be something else to this thing. And so it's getting worse. And he stands and he's doing and he's standing. And his son, he leaves now. His son's running. He's running from the ministry. He's running from God. The divorce happened. The kids separate. It's just, it hurts the church. It's just worse. And one night, God, I think it was a night, God takes him from his body. And he said, I'm standing in a courtroom. He said, I'm in the heavenly courtroom. Oh, my God. And he said, everything was legal. Everything was documented. Everything was court. Everything was legal in the heavenlies. And God said to him, the first moment he got there, he said, my people don't know me as judge. And they don't want to know me as judge. But he said, I'm not a condemning judge. I'm a loving judge. I'm a just judge. I'm a justifying judge. In other words, I want to justify you. But legally, I can't if you don't allow it. You have a part in it. So he showed him about the accuser of the brethren. And the accuser comes day and night. Whether he's there or not, that doesn't make any... Whether he's allowed there or not, that doesn't make any... We know there's an accuser, right? And so he is going to the judge, and he is an adversary. And guess what the word adversary... When you look up the word adversary, it means one who brings a lawsuit against another. That's very legal. So here comes the adversary, right? And he's coming against you and I. He's coming against this church. He's coming against our ministry. What rights does he have? What rights have we given him? Give no place to the devil, it says. Don't give him place. My people perish for lack of knowledge. What if we get more knowledge in this legal matter? What if we focus on this more? What's going to happen? Ho, ho, ho! Hey, hey, hey! I'm getting real French right now for some reason. Wee, wee! Okay. Man, we're going to go to court and get back what's ours. Hey, man! Isn't this exciting? Don't sit there kick rocks about how... What? Man, this is how you get it. Our life starts now. Let's go! Let's go! Praise God. All right. So, he said... let's go to 1 Peter 5:8. Did I give you that one in the King James? To our Bible in the sky. Click! You, when I say click, what? Look, look. Yeah, okay. All right. We're just... Be sober, be vigilant, because you're who? Now, we know what that means, that one who brings lawsuit against you. Now, that means legally. He can't do anything illegally. He tries to. But if we have the legal matter on it, we can stop him. The devil, as he is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he... He can't devour everyone. But man, he can devour a lot. And he's been devouring a lot of nice Christians. A lot of nice Christians who aren't focused in. Who they're not dialed in. They've been spraying and praying for years. And he's just laughing and having fun with that. And they're carrying their Bibles. They got their bumper stickers and their fish keychains and all that stuff. He's just devouring them. Why? Legally. Legally. So we need God to empower his covenant. Because don't you believe it? We got to stop empowering him and start letting him be empowered. Amen? Okay. So we know that he's doing that legally. And so back to the Father. And he shows the Father a book. And this book is not the book of life. If you read the Bible, it's a good book. It'll really bless you. It's one of my, you know, my signature. Anyway. Note to self, don't say that in Canada anymore. Doesn't work. Got that, Candy? All right. There's many books in heaven. Libraries, actually. There's archives. Things are recorded. So he showed him this book. And he said, this book, and it wasn't the book of life. There is a book of life. And he showed him this book, and he says, your son's destiny is written in that book. He said, I wrote it there before the beginning of creation. He goes, where is that scripturally? He said, Psalm 139, 16. So let's put that up there. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. Everybody say, that's me.
That's me.
Ah! Say it again, that's me. Your name's in that book. And guess what's in that book? God's plan for your life. Your destiny! So you got to smile at something. Your destiny's been written out. Do you think God put, well, I'll do good with this one, but not in this one? No! He's not a respecter of persons. So your plan, God's derech, that's the Hebrew word for it, your plan's been written out. And that's what the accuser is trying to stop. He said that's what he's coming after your son, to stop that plan. Because if he stops that, then it will stop God's plan and other people involved in that plan. Amen. Not just about you. Which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. You need to get a book called My Time in Heaven. This is a must reading. Oh, please, 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 please. Richard Sigman is the author. Richard Sigman, they can order it here. Mom's book table, we sell it, but I guess it's not here. He was in a car wreck and died for 8 hours. He was dead. Pronounced dead 8 hours. Not an hour. That would have been something. 8 hours. He's in the embalming room. And when he comes back to life. And they said, the dead man's alive. And he goes, I ain't dead. So he begins to tell him. He goes, we pronounced you dead 8 hours ago. And he goes, I'm not dead. And so they begin to... they had a revival at that hospital and all that. But he talks about the details of it. He saw that book, and he talks about that book. He said, I saw it. Now, he has no idea. This is way before Robert Henderson. And Gary Woods has saw that book. A lot of people who've been to heaven have seen that book. It's a book of destinies that God pre-wrote. And your destiny's in it. Well, I've blown it. I've done this. I've done that. Well, anytime I travel, I always get a rental car, and I travel all types of places, and some, I always get a GPS. I have to have a GPS. Thank God. Anyway. And some of the GPSs, like when I'm going from Calgary to Edmonton, y'all familiar with that? It's just one line for hours. And you're wondering if it's working. And you see the numbers moving, and it's working. But then sometimes, I'll go to Houston or New York or L.A. or Sydney or wherever, and the roads are like this. You don't even, there's so many, you can't, it's a blob. And the lady's on there saying, exit here, and there's like five of them. And I remember being in Houston one time, and I saw the hotel that I'm supposed to go to, but I couldn't get to it. And once... It took me 45 minutes to get there once I was there. So, and she's not panicking. I am. Right? Ah! She's like, recalculating. And she knows the destination, and she knows that, you know, maybe one day we'll get there. Hopefully we do. If we do, I'll tell you. You have arrived. But meanwhile, we're recalculating. Aren't you glad they don't have the little temper switch or something after your third missed exit? And then they start getting an attitude? And then they just shut off, idiot mode. Not doing it. Oh, thank God they don't have that. Well, neither does God. And so when I finally arrived 45 minutes later, and she goes, "You have reached your death." Thank God. And the Lord said, "Don't you think that if a box can get you there, that I can't, you can't recalculate?" Yeah, your plan is still there. We'll get you right back on track. Amen. Glory to God. That's so good. Amen. So he shows him this book. Now, when you're Billy Brim's boy, please say I brought it. When you're Billy Brim's boy, you get books for Christmas. Even when you're little and you want toys. And she give you toys every once in a while, but the main purpose and priority was books. And she'd wrap them up as books. And you know, you're 10 years old and you get a book for Christmas and it's wrapped as a book. It's a book. Yeah. Read it. Open it. It may not be. Anyway, thanks for laughing, honey. I appreciate it. But you know Mom. You know Mom. So, but after you grow older and closer to God, you want these books. Where are they? And you're digging and finding, and they're all wrapped still because, anyway. So, but she has blessed us with a series of books that give the actual rabbi commentary of when the scriptures were written. So we had Psalms, which was the Tehillim. And so I said, he just quoted that book is in Psalms. So I'm going to go to that scripture and see what the Jews back then said about that verse. Is that okay with y'all? Do y'all understand? And here I wrote it down, word for word, what it says. To God, everything is apparent as it is written in the finished book. Talks about Psalm 139. Now watch this. Because it's stating what God told Adam in Genesis 5:1. This is what they said. This is the account of the descendants of Adam. While Adam was still an unshaped form, the Creator showed him all the generations of his descendants, every generation and its leaders, every generation and its scholars and preachers. In addition, God revealed to Adam the number of their years, their days, and their hours. He even counted out before Adam the number of steps every man is destined to take. Oh, y'all didn't hear. There's probably a good hockey game on TV. And I can go, you know, seek God and have a good time. Are y'all okay? Are y'all getting something out of this? He showed Adam every man's destiny. Praise God. And he showed this man his sons. And he said, that's what Satan's after. So I'm going to read on about the Jews, what they said about this book. The Almighty, the architect of creation, wrote this book, and it is the blueprint which records the divine master plan for mankind. Oh. God is omniscient, which means he foresees and knows everything about man, yet himself has no inkling of his own future, which remains a wonder and a mystery to man. But even more wondrous is the divine paradox. Everything is foreseen by God, yet man has the freedom of choice. Yet to man has the freedom of choice. Where you're at, the destination you're at right now is of choice, but we can still have another choice. He said, it is man the sinner who allows darkness and gloom into his life, and yet God has endowed him with the power of repentance. Are y'all getting this? He's endowed him with the power, say power. Now, I never knew repentance was so powerful. Powerful, which he can rekindle the light he obscured and get back on track to where he's going. Glory to God. Oh my goodness. I may have that book on my iPad. Let me finish this game of solitaire real quick. Okay. Richard Sigmund. 8 hours, heaven. One very large building had a huge archway. I was taken into it. Inside were rows upon rows of shelves with books. These books were 15 feet high. This was a library. It was called the Archives of Heaven, where the other books were kept. The shelves were miles long and miles high, and there were hundreds of angels servicing these books. They were going in and out. There was so much activity here. These are the different books about our lives, and these are the books that are taken to God when judgment time comes. Oh, my God. These books are the records of our works here on earth. And if a person sins, it's recorded in the books. Yikes, thank you. If I stopped right there, that wouldn't be real good. But I was given the understanding that when we repent, amen, anything that was done wrong or sinful in nature that is recorded in the books is erased from the books for eternity. No one can find the record, not even God Himself. That's pretty powerful. Are y'all getting this? That's not emotional, that's powerful. So, back to the dad. He says, bring your son to me like an intercessor would. He's not in the position to do it. Stand in for him. And he said, repent for him. He said, when you repent, it puts a gag order on the accuser. Is this the test? Test, test, test. Are you seeing the legality of it? It shuts him up. He has no more legal access right to say what he has in your life. He's done. He's gagged. He's legally out of that picture. I'm repenting all the time, glory to God. I said that in church the other day, and we had two new families, and I thought, oh my gosh, what do they think? They don't know the whole deal. And I said, man, I'm repenting all the time. And I thought, what are they thinking? Pastor's repenting all the time. And what I meant was, if I just let anything in, just let anything, like, oh, our church doesn't do this. They're always on vacation in these months, and they don't give during the... Oh, go! Whoa, whoa, whoa! I'm allowing him legal access in there to say to the judge, look what he's saying! But I can go to the judge and say, I repent for every word I've ever said, negative, that didn't glorify you about my family, my children, my life, my finances, my health. I repent of it right now. Put it under the blood of Jesus. Woo! Raced from those books. Glory to God. Now, judge, let's get some things settled here. Now you have access. You stopped empowering him. Now you're going to start empowering him and the covenant. See the legality of it? God is just. He's not going to be unjust. I'm glad he is. Otherwise, he'd be wishy-washy. And, well, I'll answer her prayer, but not his prayer. And you know, my daughter works. She's a producer for Fox News in Colorado. And she's always around a bunch of liberals and different things, and every once in a while they'll get into discussions about God and didn't save that family and didn't heal that kid and didn't do this. And you know, every time Candy would, or Taylor would, you know, still didn't. And so Taylor, one day I have this conversation with her about when this happened. She went to them, talked to them about it, and she said they when they heard this, they said, for the first time that we've ever heard anything in church preached, that makes sense. Amen. Well, it makes sense because it's true. God is a just God. And he's not going to change the laws, right, because of your situation. He's not going to do it. You have the power of repentance. And you have the power of choosing and choice. That will he gave you is a powerful thing. You have the power to empower the devil. Are y'all getting this or not? Or you have the power to shut him up. Run him out. And get everything back that's yours. Everybody say it's legal. Glory to God. He said, I want you to repent for your son. And then he said, now I want you to repent. So he did. And he goes, and he was thinking. He didn't say it. Why do I got to repent? He really wasn't saying it to God. He was thinking it. And God showed him. He said, let me show you what the accuser brought to me about you. Let me show you why the accuser's still in this situation. 2 years he's praying and doing all this. And now the judge is going to go, let me tell you why the accuser's still involved in this thing. Well, wouldn't you like to know? Yeah, so we could change it and go get some results. He showed him. God showed the dad and his wife having breakfast one morning, and they were saying things like, "Why can't, let's say the son's name's John. Why can't John do this? He knows better. How come John's not doing this? How come John is not there?" And the accuser came in and said, look, even the father says he can't. He says, now repent. Not go lay in a corner in a fetal position on your bed and cry for 3 days. Are y'all with me? Just repent and let's get down to business. Are y'all getting this or not? That's the kind of God you serve. You know a judge. He's a good judge. He's on your side. Let him. Help him. Help you. Empower the guy. Where's this covenant you're talking about? That's legal. There's an accuser, an adversary, legally trying to have place. The scripture says, by your word. Where is that scripture? We're going to go there right now. Let's try, let's do this one. Isaiah 43:26. Let's do that one. And then let's do Matthew 12 after that one. Here, now watch this. If you're going to know God is judge, then you need to go through the Bible and translate and meditate. Everywhere he is, put judge there or think it. Put me in remembrance. Put who in remembrance? Who? No. Judge. So, put the judge in remembrance. Why? Because he's got a short-term memory. Judge, you have a short-term memory? Do you keep forgetting? Come on. That's not the reason, is it? You want to know the reason? Because it's the legal thing to do. What do you bring into his remembrance? His covenant. His promises. Don't go in there when you don't know the word. Amen. Bring that word to him. What are you talking about? Go in. In prayer. I mean, you know what prayer is? Prayer, I told the men this the other day. Prayer is not informing God of something he's not familiar with. You should have been laughing really right there. But how many times have we done this? God, I have this situation and I really need... Well, he's not moved by need and he already knows about the situation. Come on now. God, I have this son and he's running and he's this and God, I have these bills and God, I have... And we're informing him. That's not prayer. You know what prayer is? Declaring and decreeing his word to him. That's prayer. When you pray, you're in that courtroom. Are you with me? When you praise, here comes a judge. Two people laugh, thank you. I'll take that and go forward with it. Right? When you pray, oh man, I don't know about you. So, we enter into, put me in remembrance, let us plead together. Do y'all see how these are legal words? Yeah. Declare it. What's yours? And that's what he told him to do about his son. He said, now repent. Now he said, decree and declare everything that's in that book that's written for your son. He said, now declare it. Declare what's yours. I know, but that's my faith. Glory to God. Declare thou that they, so that you may be justified. By who? The judge. Legally. Amen? Let's go to Matthew 12. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, I believe Jesus is saying this, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Every word. click. For by thy words thou shalt be justified. And by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So we know that Satan is using those words. Are you getting this? What words have we put out there so he can condemn us? God doesn't condemn us. He justifies us. But give him legal access to do it. Are y'all seeing this or not? Even the liberals understand that. Come on, church. Come on, church. Get excited about this. Man, you get to go to court. Woo! We get to go to court. Glory to God. I go to court all the time. I'm a regular there. Amen. Do you see the different thinking? And you see judges in ours. I don't want to see you back in my court. Not God. Keep coming. Amen. Keep bringing that word. Bring my covenant to me. We'll do it legally. Oh, God. So he said, now, legally declare and decree what's his. And he did. He started going, he will fulfill God's destiny. He will live and not die. He'll prosper and have good health. He'll continue in great things for God. He'll be fruitful and multiply. He began to get excited about it. He stopped saying all this. He can't, he won't, he can't, he won't. That gave the adversary every right to go in there. And God's going, I'm just. And so he changed it and got legal. He said, now use your authority over that assigned spirit that's against him. Now we've been, you know what that tells me? We've been using our authority out of order. We've been, you know what I mean? Here we have been given this authority, but we're using it and without the legal rights to use it, actually. He says, now use your legal, now use your authority. You've repented. He's out of the picture. And use your authority and bind. Instead of being bound, you bind. And you bind that spirit of depression that's on him. And he goes, I bind you, spirit of whatever's been assigned against my son. And he said, court dismissed. Amen. No, I don't know if he said that. He said, it was like a week later, he got a phone call from his son. The son said, Dad, I'm free. I don't know what's happened, but I'm free. But he said, it actually had happened even earlier than that. And God said to this man, he said, what you've been trying to do on the battlefields for 2 years, you took care of it in court in 15 minutes. I don't know about you, but that's speedily. Everybody say speedily.
Speedily.
Amen. Speedily. That's my God. Now, I think about the legal ways of doing things. What about Jesus when he was on the cross? What did he say? Lord, forgive them. He repented for them. So he could do that. What about him getting baptized by John in water for repentance? Did Jesus ever sin? Oh. But it was a legal thing to do. So much legal. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. If you haven't got anything, at least get this. If you just woke up, good time. You have the right to remain silent. Now come on, let me finish this and read this to you. You need to hear it. Some of you didn't want to hear it when you heard it the first time. And you probably shouldn't have heard it back then. But you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. Your words will be condemned or justified. Amen? Amen? So watch what you say. Praise God. It's legal. How many would rather have sooner than later? Yes. Now, you know what's funny about that? God actually told me to ask that question to people. And I said, well, God, who's going to pick later? And he says, more than you know. Now, I've never had anybody raise their hand and say later, but he said, they don't know it, lack of knowledge, they're choosing later. Even the ones going, me, later, who's going to choose later? And the whole time, I'm choosing later. Ah, I've given man the power of choice to choose. So if this is you, And this thing you're hearing today is, whatever. It's a good word. Good word, Brother Chip. And I could care less if I hear that or not. It's not about me. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not trying to be, I'm just telling you, this is from God, and I believe it, and I've seen it, and I put it into practice, and I'll show you here in a second. But if this is you, and you want to go on with the way you're going, there it is right there. Thank you. Can I hold that up? The Courts of Heaven, Robert Henderson. Okay? And so, if this is you, then your poster boy will be Job. Now, Job eventually gets back everything double. But he had to wait a while and went through a whole bunch of stuff. Has anybody read the whole book of Job? God. I'm halfway in it going, stop. Just stop. But Chip, he went through and blessed. Job legally could have been one page long. It could have been, but it went weeks after weeks after months, day after day. And the only good thing about Job that really came out of that thing was the speech that God comes in and gives him this big boy speech, and we learned a lot about creation through that speech. Right? Where were you when I was there, Craig? You were not there. I mean, it was a straighten up and fly right type deal. That's what my grandma used to say. You better straighten up and fly right, bro. So this answers the Job question. If anybody ever had the question on why Job and God allowed it, he didn't. You got to know the legal rights. So let's go to Job 1, 10 through 12. We're at the end of this thing. Hang with me. Amplified does it best, says it best. Have you not put a hedge? Now remember, everything Satan says is a lie. There's no truth in him. Jesus said it. So don't fall for any of that. Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have conferred prosperity and happiness upon him in the work of his hands and his possessions and have increased the land. Click. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. I'm not even listening to a word he says. Click. All right. And the Lord says to Satan, now watch this. Can y'all read? Can y'all see that? The adversary and the accuser. Now it is made known there that this is a court session. Are y'all getting this? He has brought him to court. Remember Peter? Remember Jesus said, Peter, Satan has come to sift you. He's come after you. Legally. But I prayed for you. See, and Jesus was a man, just, and he couldn't do his godly power, so we can lift up other people as well and pray for them and decree and declare. Are y'all with me? You have every legal right. Behold, all that he has, this is God speaking, is in your power. Not allowing, he's talking legal rights. Satan, when man fell, you got the power. You have the power down there. I'm not allowing you to do whatever you want to do to him. He has choices as well. He has rights as well. But then later we find out what? Jesus comes, the second Adam comes, gives back authority to us. Amen. And here we have this authority and some of it's not working. But you've got the power. Satan doesn't have power. He didn't have power down there. If he didn't have power, how could he have offered Jesus at the Mount of Temptation, if you bow your knees, I'll give you everything that you see. He has the power you give him legally. Amen. Now, you have the power down there. Just don't put yourself upon him. You can't kill him. And so we know what happens. Verse after verse, day after day. And it gets worse and worse and worse. And then here comes the big boy speech. Ugh. Where were you? Who were you? Oh, man. And I did this, and I mean, it wasn't no speech where he came in, oh, bless your heart. It wasn't that speech. That's what a lot of people are waiting on. And here, this is God of love. You want love? Love helps you. Love never fails. And then after the big boy speech, watch this. Watch the legality. After the big boy speech, hopefully some of you have read this, Job does what? Does what? Everybody say it again. Repent. I'm making you repeat it, just like I made that Canadian guy last night in front of me. I made him repeat who won the junior hockey tournament this year.
Once in a decade.
He said, United States. I said, who? Okay. All right, forget it. But I kind of feel that way with this. He repents. Oh, no. Repenting has nothing to do with emotions. God's not waiting for how long he cries. God doesn't care if this cry really, really means it, or if he's kneeling on rice, or if it's hurting, or if it's... No. No. You did what? Repented. Boom! Instantly disempowered Satan, empowered God, back this covenant, double everything instantly right there. How do you not... Really? Amen. Praise God. Glory. Come on! Come on! Okay. Woo! Well, I'm getting excited. Oh, it answers the Job question. Praise God. It was legal. Everything was legal. I don't know about you, but I don't want to wait that long and go through that stuff. Do you? I don't want to go through that stuff. Well, I can change right now. Glory to God. Now, if anybody chooses sooner, is anybody going to choose speedily or sooner? Is that you? Is anybody hearing something today? You're kind of excited about what you're hearing? You had a little law session? You're a lawyer now? There's a court that you get to go to? Okay, how many believe that to Jesus, words were a priority to his ministry? Words were important. Remember, he said, every idle word. And he also said, I don't speak anything unless God tells me to speak. Right? So, we're going to go to Luke 1. I think it's 1. Yeah, no, 18. Luke 18, 1 through 8. And Jesus spoke a parable unto them, saying, men should always pray and not faint. Click. Now, Jesus is speaking. All right? So, he's never going to say something. And, well, I just said that because we had some time. But I really didn't mean anything. No, everything's a... Right? Okay. There was in a city a judge. So now, right now, you need to be thinking like, okay, he's talking about another judge as well. Are y'all with me or not? Okay. There was a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Click. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of who? Now see how you're thinking differently now? When you see words like this? Adversary means what? One who brings a lawsuit against another. This is a very legal thing. Judge, adversary. Judge, adversary. Adversary is a legal term. And the devil is roaring, seeking whom he may... Who? The adversary.
Devour.
And you know what? He's been doing a lot. But it can stop right now. It can legally stop right now. And she came unto him and said, avenge me of the one who's bringing lawsuit against me. Okay, click. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said, though I fear not God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her because she's wearing me out. That's my translation. She's weary, right? Okay. She's wearing me out. So this judge... Is saying what? No. Now get out. Don't come back here. Oh, I'll come back here. I'll be here tomorrow. No. I don't want to see you again in here. I'll do this and I'll do that. I'll be here tomorrow. You want me to pick you up a falafel on the way? You like the one with chickpea or? Okay. Thank you for this row right here. It's really helping me. Okay. So... She's wearing me out, and she ain't going to stop. So, in other words, she's pretty persistent. And God likes it. You're going to find out about it. Oh, I don't want to bother God. What? He wants to back his covenant. He doesn't like this, that his Christians are being defeated. Doesn't glorify him at all. Not at all. Yet because this... Okay, click. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Now he said, listen to what he said. And shall not God avenge his? God avenge his? The judge? The righteous judge? The just judge? Won't he avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he... Is he... Now watch this. Keep it right here. Don't go. He's going to... Oh, I've never seen this. I want to start running right here. I've never seen Jesus say this, and I just... What do you really think? Where did you read? What's going on? How did you Google that? What? Where did you get that it takes God a long time? He's going to just barrel on? You don't know the judge I know. You don't know the laws I know. Click. What's he say next? I tell you, this is Jesus talking, I tell you, maybe a little snap in there, that he will avenge them.
Speedily.
Come on, everybody.
Speedily.
Say it in Canadian.
Speedily.
Speedily. He will avenge them how?
Speedily.
Jesus said, that's the God and the judge I know. Oh, my gosh. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, what's he going to find? What kind of face is he going to find? What kind of faith is he going to find? The poor me Job faith? Or the persistent widow who knows her rights? Jesus said, that's the faith he wants to find. Glory to God. I don't know if y'all got anything out of this. So I go outside when I hear this like you're hearing. I don't know how you're feeling right now. But I couldn't wait to go to court. Yeah. Amen? Good. Some of you do. Good. And I went outside and I really thought I was going to go to court. I wanted to go just personally. And God didn't care for my children and finances and whatever. But when I got out there, I looked out in the backyard and I saw our pool cover. And so the Lord wanted me to take care of this. And we had this pool cover. I call it the redneck pool cover. You buy it from Lowe's, and you know, it's a tarp, and you hold it down with a center block and a tire, transmission, and swing set. No, I don't know. And if somebody like Kenneth Copeland or somebody came over, you always kind of just didn't let him look that way. And Candy goes, we're faith people. Let's believe God for a nice pool cover. So we did. The money came in, several thousand dollars, and we're going to buy this pool cover. So we call this guy that opens and closes our pool, and we said, we want to order this. Okay, write him the check and give it to him. And we never see him again. And he was a good guy. We knew him. And so we call his, a year goes by. So we call his work, and they said he's gone, and he's had a divorce and some terrible things have happened in his life and sickness and blah, blah, blah. And the money's gone. You're not going to get it back. 2 years go by. So we're out. We've just been stolen from. And there was things we said and, you know, whatever legally is out there. And I said, God, judge, Mr. Judge. And I took that pool guy to court. And I lifted him up. I said, first of all, I repent of any word I've said that has allowed the accuser to come in here. And it's not just about this pool cover. It's about this man's life and others. And I said, I repent. Now, I'm thinking, the door just slammed on the accuser. Ow! Boom! He's out the door. This is the picture I have. Now God's going, now bring things to my remembrance. Let's go. Bring the scriptures. Here we go. And Lord, I just want to know that I repent for him as well. Maybe he didn't have a father or a grandmother who prayed for him. But he's a neighbor of mine and he's crossed my path. Therefore, I lift him up. And I declare and decree, Lord, you wrote down in that book, he's in it. You sent your son Jesus for him. Lord, you love him just much you love me. Oh, look at the difference of this instead of me just slamming him. Look at the difference between me and getting on social media and slamming him to my other friends of what he did wrong. And God's going, that ain't love. That ain't love. Love is lifting him up. Love, a neighbor, is helping him. So you see the difference? Now I have every legal right. And this man's life's in jeopardy. I took him to court. And I declared and decreed what was his. God, he will. If he's not saved, he will be saved. Blah, 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 blah. And I used my authority over whatever that was binding him. And I bound it. The next day, I get this phone call, and it's just from a number, unknown number. Now, it's a miracle if I answer it with a picture and the number I know and the name. Can I get amens up here? I have witnesses. It's a miracle. Candy's saying it's a miracle. My wife! So, it's a number. And I'm like, no, no, no. My finger's just going to the answer button. And I go, hello. And it's him. The next day. And he said, word for word, this is what he said. Chip, you have every right to take me to court. I went, I'm already taking him. Are y'all seeing this? Speedily. And he said, I've done this my life. My wife left me. Boom, boom, boom. This happened. I said, listen, it has nothing to do with you, the money. And he really thought it was all about the money and the legal, you know, that part. I said, no, I brother, I love you and God loves you. He goes, what? He wasn't expecting that. Love never fails. And I said, he goes, I need somebody. I go, can you get over here? And he comes over, and I was able to talk to him. And next thing you know, we're hugging, and he's crying, and I'm leading him in the Lord's salvation prayer. Now that was God's plan. Not slamming him. Are y'all with me? Taking him to court and loving him. And legal. Now, when you go the other route, you're going to go for years and years and years and pray to God and wonder why nothing's ever happening and why God ain't back in his covenant for you. Amen? Yes. And now he's born again. Praise the Lord. And then Candy goes, well, why don't you use this on your lawnmower? That was the second thing. I ain't got to my kids yet. She puts on the refrigerator. I go to court right now and I take this. What time was that? About 8 o'clock in the morning, 7? You were going to prayer. Mm-hmm. She writes it up there and she went to the courtroom. And we have 3 acres, but it's all in out. It's like kind of like y'all's place. It goes downhill, like front door, and it goes downhill, and then there's a pond down there. Well, my mower only mows up downhill. It doesn't mow uphill. And I've had to. Candy, how long did it take me to mow?
A long time.
Well, there was no ever stopping. So once you're done, you got to remove that. You got to catch your ride back up and pull. We did all kinds of things. It was terrible. And so, I need time with the Lord. So Candy and I, we put on there, and, you know, I bleed with her about we won one with every bell and whistle. No, zero turn, you know. We had all the cup holders and everything. Dish satellite, everything. You know what I'm talking about. That morning, so that was a Wednesday, and this is the second time to go to the courtrooms. And so I'm getting ready for church that evening, and I step out of the shower, and here's another phone call from an unknown number. Well, I'm answering this one. And I answer it, and I'm telling you, I'm doing him exactly, people know this guy, I'm doing him exactly the same. He goes, yeah, this is Bob. And I said, well, Bob who? Why do I not know a Bob that I'm thinking of right now? He goes, well, you need to get to know me. I'm like, why do I need to get to know you, Bob? Well, I'm sitting out in your parking lot right now, sitting out in your driveway. You're sitting out in my driveway. Yep. Got delivery for you. All right, I'll be out there. So I walk down there, and I walk outside, and there is, I'm telling you, on the back of a trailer, the top of the line. You can't spend any more money, write a bigger check, cash anything. Every bell and whistle, zero turn lawnmower. Oh! It had the light from heaven and the choir backing it. Angels were like, you ordered this? Legally, contract here. Yes, that's mine. He goes, that's yours. Bob goes, yep, that's yours. Fella came in this morning, wrote a check, said deliver it here. Wrote a check for that thing? How much did it cost? He told me, golly, could have bought a used car, good used car for that thing. He said, yeah, that's top of the line. You won't get any better than that. Commercials don't even have, I mean, he said, that's the best you can get. You'll mow this thing. He looked at my lawn and he said, you'll mow this thing in less than an hour. Oh, got in there. And it's true, man. I mean, and so Bob goes, I don't know about you. Bob just said this. He goes, I don't know about you, but the good man upstairs is going to, he's going to pay this man back tenfold. That's what he said. I don't know why he said tenfold. He just said it. And I said, well, Bob, I believe with you, brother, but I believe a hundredfold. And I'm going to tell you, he goes, yeah, every time I give somebody, man upstairs, he always blesses me back. He just can't do it. He just does it. It's just like, and I said, spiritual law, isn't it? He goes, yeah, it's like a spiritual law. And so we're talking like that and connecting, and I'm thinking, hey, Bob's going to maybe get saved or whatever. Maybe he is. And so when we were done, I said, Bob, how can I pay you for delivering it? Let me just pay you for delivering it. He said, oh, no. Just next time you see me in a bar, buy me a beer. We'll be good. And I thought, here we were talking spiritual laws. So anyway, praise God. Anybody get anything out of today? So God wants us to dial it in. Come on now, don't just look at all of this fuzzy stuff and wonder and question. No, dial it in. Dial it in. Dial it into the covenant. Dial it into the legalities of the thing. Get that knowledge back. Talk to God about it. Go to him as judge. He's waiting there with open arms. He's not there like this to condemn you. No, just repent. Just repent. And then let's get things back to. Amen?
Amen?
Man, I don't know about you, but I like going, and God, I repent of every idle word I've said negative about my children, even not knowing. I take those words and I plead the blood over them and I wipe them out in the archives of heaven with a smile on my face. Amen? Glory to God. Lord, everything that I have not done right legally, financial wise. Man, are y'all familiar with what's that pastor's name called me up? He said he had a dream about me. Barclay? Mark Barclay. Ex-Navy SEALs guy. His son-in-law, so his daughters, the child was out swimming in the pool and they couldn't find her. And they, when they did, her hair got caught into the skimmer. She was blue. She's dead. She'd been dead a long time. Huh?
On the bottom
of it? Sucked it in. They dove down in there. Got her out, just blue as you can get, no breath, no life, nothing. And the son screams out, I'm a tiger! And boom, that girl spit water out and color came right back to her. Mark goes, my God, it was so legal. He said, I never felt anything more legal than that moment right there. I'm a tither. I have every legal right. Some of us are praying over our finances and we're not even tithing. That's a legal deal. It's in the Word. We don't, and the Lord told me about this, about repenting. He said, now how many are born again? Raise your hand. And he said, tell them this. They don't have to repent. They get to repent. Because see, he backs that covenant, he says, forever. You make covenant with him, he's in that thing forever. Amen. Your name's written in there. He covered it at the cross. But you're telling me I get a free ticket to sin? You get a free ticket to open the door for the devil to steal, kill, and destroy your life. And you never see the destiny of God that's planned for you. Good luck with that. But you get to repent and turn. And he gets to back his covenant for you. Amen. I'm done. Are y'all okay? Is that good enough? Did y'all get something out of that? If I shovel any more on there, it may just be running over. You got a full plate there. Now let's put it into practice. Amen. You get to repent. I don't have to give. I get to give. I don't have to walk in love. I get to walk in love. I don't have to honor my wife. I get to honor my wife. I don't have to love you. I could, you know what? I could say things about you and spread the word about. No, I get to love you. It legally keeps me in the right place. Amen? Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this day that we'll never forget. A defining moment in our lives. Some of us have known about it in teachings, and we were on our way, but now that was a piece of the puzzle. That was a dot that connected. God, thank you for it. Thank you for the covenant. God, I sing songs differently. I read the Bible differently. It's a new day. It's a new day for you, saith the Lord. Now don't let the past have any play in it whatsoever. Whatsoever. Okay? Your days are ahead and they're in a book and they're written down. And this is not just for him. And they're good. And all that other stuff that's trying to hang on, you'll get through it. God will help you with it. He knows your heart. Don't get under condemnation. Just repent. Move up a step. He told me, he said, quit going in the weight room trying to do 315 pounds. He said, pick up the little cute purple weight. Pick up the one your wife does in front of the TV. You know, that little cute one. Start somewhere. God says, start somewhere. Start somewhere. And then now that you know the legal process of it, you're well on your way to becoming who you already are. Amen, amen, amen. Pastor, come on up. Glory to God. Thank you, Father.